Amen. Praise God. The spirit of mammon. The introduction is done. Last time, I told you about the agents of mammon during the time of Jesus. There are two. The message that I am teaching, it is built on two revelations about mammon. The first one I told you, the spirit of Antichrist operates through mammon to block and sabotage the revealing of Christ to the world. I am done with that. I spoke about the agents of mammon during the time of Jesus, which were right inside the temple. But how did the agents of mammon got inside the temple? How did they acquire the house of God? You know, how did those things happen? We will look at those things in the second revelation of this message, which is mammon is the god over Babylon. Okay, mammon entered in the church, in the house of God, and started to manipulate the system of God, started to manipulate the church of God, turning it into a house of mammon by Babylon entering into it. So mammon entered through Babylon. We will come tonight, hopefully we'll come at that. So mammon is the god over Babylon, which manipulates the nations through the tool of sorcery. So mammon is closely related to Babylon and sorcery. That is what we have to look at. And last time I started off with that revelation, and from the book of Genesis, we see the initiation of the kingdom of God, and we see the initiation of the kingdom of mammon that is based on mammon. All right, I told you quickly, let me recap so that we can move ahead laying the foundation. Let me quickly recap. I told you that whenever any spirit being, that is superpower, which are the superpower in the scripture, God and mammon. Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. And he said, there are two masters. One is God and another is mammon. So whenever any superpower wants to work with men, human beings I'm talking about, they work with the man and his seed to initiate their kingdom. They work with the human being and along with that, with the seed. So Satan initiated the kingdom through the mammon spirit by choosing Cain. And Cain did not begin Satan's kingdom. Satan's kingdom began when Cain's seed manifested, that is Enoch. When Enoch was born, the Bible says he built a city after the name of his son Enoch. And that is where you should be alarmed. You should think about, if you are reading your Bible carefully, how could this man build a whole city when he was cursed that he could not earn anything with the work of his hand? How could he build a whole city when God told him that you will work and labor and you cannot do, you know, the ground will not yield the produce to you and you shall be a vagabond. No land shall support your destiny. So when God cursed him, how did he get so much of money to build a whole city? I mean, even to buy one house here in India, people work all their life, gather money and buy one house. But this guy is building a whole city. How did he get the money for building a whole infrastructure? Mammon provided. Mammon released finances, the second source. The second God released the finances for this man Cain to build a city, infrastructure. And then it goes to Lamech, it goes to the children of Lamech, it goes to the music. Music is one of the greatest tools that Satan uses, the children of Lamech, all those stuff. And that is the foundation of satanic kingdoms and Babylons. I will not go into that. That is how Satan's kingdom got initiated. But when we look at how God's kingdom got initiated, there was no money involved, no mammon involved in it. And there was no infrastructure involved in it. But the Bible says when Seth bore Enosh, men started to call upon the name of the Lord. So through the seed that Seth received, the kingdom of God was initiated and people started to call on the name of the Lord. So we looked at that last time, and I told you the phrase of men began to call on the name of the Lord. What does that mean? It means a communication with God, prayer, communication with the God of third heaven. It means making an altar and giving to the Lord, and it means the house of Lord, the house of the Lord. The house of the Lord started to get established when men began to call on the name of the Lord. All right? Hallelujah. So I want to continue with that. So men started to call on the name of the Lord. Turn with me to Genesis chapter number 12. And then let's continue from there. Genesis chapter number 12. And verse number. Genesis 12. Verse number 7. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your descendants, I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. This is the first altar Abraham built in Shechem. Okay? Because God came and told him, I will give a land to you. He got happy. He was blessed by God. So he built an altar to the Lord because he received something from the Lord, a promise from the Lord. He built an altar to the Lord who appeared to him. And then he moved from there to the mountain of east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. That is calling on the name of the Lord. That is the meaning of men began to call on the name of the Lord. Now I want to tell you how God works with man. Not the whole thing, Revelation, but a gist of how God works with man. In the beginning, God will give you a promise. Okay. In the beginning, God will encounter you. You will feel the joy of salvation when you accepted Christ. It will be bubbling in your heart, you know, at the beginning I'm talking about, because the Holy Spirit gave you a taste of the presence of God. The Holy Spirit gives you a taste of what God can do for you. But after some time, it will fade away. You will feel dry. Things will not happen in your life as it happened those times. But does that mean God is not there? God is still there. God is still there. But what God, you know, it's like God gave you a taste. And then he wants you to pursue and seek after the taste that you tasted from God. He wants you to seek after the promises. He wants to see whether you love him or whether you love the things of the world, whether you really love him or whether you love your own life, whether you really love him or whether you love your own career. He wants to test you. So after that, God expects you to seek him. And how will you seek him? You will seek him by building an altar to him and offering selfless sacrifices. So the second altar Abraham built, nothing significant happened there. He was just traveling and he stopped at a place and he said, I will worship the Lord here. Hallelujah. Nothing was happening there. He did not get a promise. He got a promise at Shechem. He got a promise before that. Now nothing is happening. So when Abraham understood, hallelujah, that is called devotion unto the Lord. Okay? It's a disciplined routine. It's a devotion that you have. It's a covenant that you have. Though you may slay me, yet will I worship you. I am sick for 1 week, but every morning I get up and I worship you. I will not let you go, my God. I will not let your presence go away from my life. A selfless sacrifice, a selfless altar, a selfless worship. That is what God wants every believer to do. Yeah. Hallelujah. So Abraham, nothing happened there, and he built an altar. As soon as he built an altar, when nothing happened, he was still worshiping God. He got an utterance. The Bible says he started to call on the name of the Lord. That is the time Abraham learned to pray, when he understood to offer a selfless sacrifice. So, So I told you that the kingdom of mammon is based on money, selfishness, infrastructure, and the kingdom of God is based on selflessness, prayer, hallelujah, and sacrifices unto the Lord. That is on which the foundation of God's system is based on. All right. So the foundation of God's system is based on selflessness and dependence on God. And the foundation of mammon's system is based on selfishness, greed, money, and trading. Write it down. We will go into that now a bit. The foundation of God's system is based on selflessness and dependence on God. And the foundation of mammon's system is based on selfishness, greed, money, and trading. Hallelujah. Money, selfishness, greed, money, and trading. All right. Now, after telling you this, though Abraham built an altar, there, selfless altar, nothing happened, but he built an altar and worshiped that. That became Bethel. That became the house of God there. Okay, so that's why I said men began to call on the name of the Lord means the establishing of the house of the Lord. When people understand that, you know, it's not God who owes to me, but I owe my life to God, you start to enter the civilization of the third heaven. Hallelujah. You know, do you understand Jesus doesn't owe anything to you? Whatever he had to give you, he has already given his life on the cross. His body on the cross was given for you. That's it. Now, if anyone owes, it's not Jesus to us, it's we to Jesus. We owe to him. Hallelujah. But we Christians nowadays act like God owes to us so much. Because he did not answer me after my 21 days fasting. So God, you owe that answer to me. No, he does not owe anything to us. Whatever he had to give us, he has given on the cross. And through his blood, we have redemption. We have eternal life. Our sins are washed away. Hallelujah. He has done whatever he had to do for us. It's our time to give to him our lives, to give to him sacrifices. And when a believer understood, when Abraham understood that, he entered into the utterance of God's kingdom. That means he started to pray. He started to call on the name of the Lord. There was no teacher to tell them about the name of the Lord. There was no teacher to teach them to pray. But the Holy Spirit took over Abraham's tongue and they started to pray. He started to call on the name of the Lord and offer him sacrifices there at the altar. All right. But what I want to say to you is to receive from this system, that is the system of God, to receive from the master, that is God, God and mammon, I'm talking about God now, to receive from God, to walk with him, a lot of waiting, trusting, and obedience is required. Yes. A lot of waiting, trusting him, depending on him, obedience is required. All right? And in that aspect or in that area, when we enter into that area, when Abraham built an altar to the Lord, nothing happened, but he built an altar. He waited there, and what he got there was famine. And then he started to think, I built an altar selflessly to the Lord, and I sacrificed to the Lord, I prayed to the Lord, but in return I did not get anything. What I got is famine. And when that happens, when the testing happens because God wants to reveal the Babylon hidden in us. That is where I am coming to. We all have, including me, we all have a Babylon in us. We all have some alignment to mammon. We all have some alignment with Babylon. Hallelujah. But if God loves you and God loves me for our good, what he will do is he will put us in testings and trials. And those testings and trials will expose the Babylon in me. Can everyone say, God will expose the Babylon in me? God will expose.
God will expose the Babylon in me.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Remember, Abraham came from Babylon. He dwelt in Chaldean. Chaldea is Babylon. He came from Babylon and he carried a Babylon in him. God had to expose that Babylon before he could bless Abraham and, you know, make him whatever God wants to make him. Before doing that, God will expose the Babylon in Abraham, expose that mammon's hold. We all have a hold of mammon, and that is exposed when we are tested. We are tested by God. Now look at the scripture. Now let's look at the Babylon in Abraham. Let's look at the Babylon in Abraham. That is there in the scripture that we were in, Genesis chapter number 12. Genesis chapter number 12, verse number 8. So it says, and he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and I on the east. Remember the location with Bethel. He pitched his tent where? With Bethel on the west and I on the east. It was Bethel, but it is the location. Bethel on the west, I on the east. He will come back to this location. He will leave this location now because he was discouraged. He doubted, you know, because of the Babylon. We will see that. So he built an altar to the Lord. That's the location. Built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. That was a selfless altar he built. But what happened? So Abraham journeyed going on still towards south, and there was a famine in the land, and Abraham still went down to Egypt further to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stay with me. Now, this is how God operates. This is how the spiritual realm operates. Remember when I took the sermon on the surrendered seed or on surrender, I made a statement and I told that every journey that you make with God will start with negativity. Will start with things contrary to what you expected things to have, you know, come. Everything will be contrary, negativity. Everything will happen opposite to what you expected. You thought, I am selflessly sacrificing to God. You know what? God will bless me. But instead of seeing the blessing, you see the famine. I'm talking about God. I'm talking about how he works. And I'm talking about you're exposing mammon. I'm telling you, many pastors will not teach you this. So listen to me carefully. They will not talk about mammon. They will talk about fast blessing. They will say, do this and God will do you this. Do this and you will receive this. Do this and you will receive that. That is give and take relationship. That is transactional based relationship. God does not work like that. They are teaching mammon. That is how mammon works. But I am teaching God. I am teaching the doctrine of God. Listen to me. As soon as God gives you a promise and you, God gave me a promise. I am starting my journey. Everything that happens, you are selflessly sacrificing. You are serving God, but things that you expected to happen do not happen. Instead of that, you see famine. Why you are seeing famine? It is allowed by God, beloved, because God wants to expose the Babylon in us. God wants to test our heart. Whether am I loving this God and am I building selfless altar to this God because I really love him or because I just want some benefit out of him? That is what God wants to look at our heart. God wants to, if God has chosen you, he will make sure that he sits on the throne of your life. There is no one else more than him that you love. He will make sure that. And for that, your heart and your emotions and your mind will be tried and tested through fire. Hallelujah. This guy built a selfless altar to the Lord and prayed unto the Lord and sacrificed unto the Lord. And what he sees there is famine. So he leaves that place. You know what? I sacrificed to God. I prayed to him. I did not go anything. let me leave this altar and go to where? Egypt. Egypt is a type of Babylon. Egypt has different characteristics. This is a principality. Egypt is a principality. Babylon is a principality. But Egypt and Babylon are similar. They come under the same system of mammon. But Egypt's stronghold is ruled by witchcraft. Babylon's stronghold is ruled by mammon and pride. We will come to that. But he went to where? Egypt. That's why I told you to receive from this God that you worship. You need a lot of waiting. You need capacity. You need trusting. You need obedience. We need, and God teaches us. That does not happen in one day. We need to walk with God. And sometimes mammon pulls us in a different way because we start to doubt God. Hallelujah. Do you see that doubt in Abraham's life? He went to Egypt. Why? Because I cannot wait at the altar of Bethel. Nothing happened in Egypt. He went there, he suffered, he came back to Bethel at the altar back. We will see that. He came back to the altar at Bethel. And then he waited there at the altar. And there at the altar of Bethel, when he waited again, he was separated from Lot. And then he received further instructions from the Lord to look to the east, to the west, to the north, to the south. And God said, all this land, Abraham, I will give to you. Hallelujah. Don't leave the house of God. Don't leave the altar at Bethel. Don't leave the place where you selflessly sacrifice. Hold on to the horns of the altar. Another example you will see in the book of Ruth, Naomi. There was a famine in Bethlehem, that is Bethel, house of God. So she heard from Moab that someone, God visited Moab with bread. They ran to Moab. What happened in Moab? The husband died. The two sons died. Hallelujah. Are you understanding that? Why did she run? Because there was a Babylon in her. There was greed in her. So whenever we start to doubt God, and we start, let me leave this prayer and let me leave this worshiping, let me leave these things that I am doing for God and I am doing towards God, because what I see is just famine and this and that. Let me go to Egypt. Let me go to Moab. Let me go there to those systems. Those are mammon systems and they are calling you. And how they can call you and you go there? Because there is something in you. There is something in you that aligns with them. That's why they call you and you go there. And you think that system is better. That system is nonsense. God's system is the best system. But you need to be trained and equipped to receive in the system of God. To receive in this kingdom. Hallelujah. Are we understanding that? Hallelujah. Verse number 11. Genesis 12, verse number 11. And it came to pass, when he was close to entering Egypt, that he said to Sarai, his wife, indeed I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. Therefore, it will happen when the Egyptians see you that they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Please say you are my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, and that I may live because of you. As soon as you want to leave the presence of God and you want to enter into the system of mammon to receive from mammon, mammon will not give you freely. What will mammon do to you before it gives to you is make you compromise. Remember when Daniel entered Babylon, he was living in Babylon. They were made captives in Babylon. The first thing when he entered, he was chosen as to be a wise man in the kingdom of Babylon, in the government. The first thing that happened is Babylon urged him to compromise, but he said, I will not compromise. I will not bow down to the system of Babylon. Though I'm working under Babylon, though I will work under the king, but actually I pay my worship to the God of heaven and not to this king. So I will not. So as soon as you entered the system of Babylon, the powers of Babylon, they will not give you things freely. First, they will they will make you fall in sin. This man Abraham lied. He started to lie. He started to lie. This is not my wife. This is my sister. Why? Because he wants things from Egypt. He wants place to settle in Egypt. But God does not work like that. God is merciful. We will see that. All right. Verse number 15. The princes of Pharaoh also saw her and commended her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. He treated Abraham well for her sake. He had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male and female servants. Underline male and female servants, please. Male and female servants, female donkeys and camels. Okay. So Abraham was given this stuff from Egypt. All right. He got this stuff from Egypt. The sheep, the oxen, male and female servants, female donkeys and camels. This stuff was given to him by what? Egypt. But the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abraham's wife. And Pharaoh called Abraham and said that the reason why God protected Sarai, because Sarai carried the promise of God in her womb. If you, God will protect you, not for your righteousness sake, not for your obedience sake, but he will protect you because you carry the word on your life. That's why for the sake of his own word, he will place protection. He placed protection on Sarai. All right. And Pharaoh called Abraham and said, what is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister? I might have taken her as my wife. Now, therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go your way. Might be your husband don't care about you. But God cares about you and he will protect you. As a husband, Abraham led the wife to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh could have taken this woman as the wife, and Abraham doesn't care as long as he gets stuff from Egypt. But God cares for Sarai because God has given the promise, the word in Sarai's womb. Hallelujah. Amen. Do we look at that? Hallelujah. God is faithful more than man. God is more faithful than your husband. God is more faithful than your wife. Hallelujah. You see, Abraham, how I did not like his role as a husband that he's playing here. He's just letting the wife in the den of those people. And because we want to stay here, we want to receive stuff. So I am ready to compromise. You see, do you understand that? Let Pharaoh do anything to you. Because I will tell you are my sister, you are not my wife. So Pharaoh could have done anything with Sarai, but the Lord protected Sarai. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse number 19. Why did you? Okay. Verse number 20. So Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. Genesis chapter number 13. So Abraham was kicked out of Egypt now. Abraham did not set a good example in Egypt because he lied. He wanted things from there, from that economy of Egypt. So after Abraham realized, I am kicked out of Egypt, where did he go? Then Abraham went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him to the south. Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold. This richness was before the richness of God. Okay. Now, after that, and he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai. He came back to the same location. Okay. To the place where he built an altar to the Lord. To the place of the altar which he had made there first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Thank God he came back after seeing the tragedy that he faced of leaving Bethel, of leaving the altar. So he came back. And when he came back, the Lord gracious to him, he again got the utterance to call on the name of the Lord. He again started to sacrifice unto the Lord. This time when he started to sacrifice unto the Lord, are we understanding, people of God? Are we here? Are we looking at the things? Okay, hallelujah. He came back again. He came back again. Hallelujah. If you are chosen by God, you will go, but God will bring you back. You will realize certain things. You will come back to the altar. You will come back to God. So he came back to the same place, realizing that he took a wrong decision. But that wrong decision will cost Abraham. Whenever you leave the altar of God, you go, but you come back. Okay, things go right. But it has costed you something that will be revealed afterwards. Because you have stuff in your property which is not from God. You have stuff, you have things, wealth in your possession, which is not from God, which is from mammon. Abraham acquired donkeys, sheep, male and female servants. Okay? And those were with Abraham. And from one of those female servants, the Bible says there was an Egyptian slave called Hagar. Where did Hagar come from? Hagar came from Egypt. Hagar came when Abraham left the altar of God. That is when Hagar came. Hallelujah. And it again started to come upon Sarai and Abraham that we cannot wait for this God. I am becoming old. Let's produce of our own selves. Again, the Babylon pulling them. And where it took them? To the Egyptian slave that was bought from Egypt. That was brought from Egypt. Hallelujah. May in the name of Jesus, everything that we have received from mammon will be uprooted. And what will stay in our possession will be only the things that are from God. Because those are the blessings. But anything received from Egypt is a curse. Is a curse. Hallelujah. Sarai thought, I will get a seed from this Hagar. But when the seed was born, instead of Sarai getting happy, she was frustrated when the child was born. And this Sarai, who instigated the husband Abraham to sleep with Hagar, started to tell, cast them away, cast them away, cast them away. Anything that comes from Egypt, even though they are good things, they in quantity, the wealth is more, but it shall bring sorrow, confusion, conflict, frustration in your life. But even if you receive $50 from the Lord, when you use every dollar from that $50, it will give joy to your heart. You will enjoy using it. Hallelujah. People of God, can you shout amen? Hallelujah. I am telling amen, you this.
Amen.
Even if you have, I'm telling you, even if you have $50 in your account and it is from God, when you spend every cent in it or dollar in it, it will give you joy. It will give you happiness. It will give you satisfaction because it matters from where it came. From where it came, it matters. As soon as that Ishmael was born, it was born because Abraham could not wait on God. He was pulled towards mammon. He was pulled towards the different source of Egypt to receive things from mammon. Are we seeing the story there? Are we seeing the reality? Okay. Coming back to Genesis chapter number 13. He again came back. Abraham again came back. He again built an altar to the Lord, it says, at the same place, Bethel, and called on the name of the Lord. But even after building this altar, nothing in the flesh, through the human perspective, nothing exciting happened. But what happened was a separation. Lot also, after calling on the name of the Lord for the second time at Bethel, Lot also, verse number 5, Genesis 13, verse number 5. Lot also, who went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock, the Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. So Abraham said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go toward Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Hallelujah. Now, listen to me. Though you are selflessly sacrificing to the Lord, as per you, nothing is happening, but actually many things are happening. The first time he offered selflessly to the Lord, he did not receive anything, but what he received is famine. And then what happened is the Babylon in him, the hold that mammon had on him, was exposed the first time. All right. The second time he built an altar to the Lord selflessly, called on the name of the Lord, came back to Bethel. Nothing significant as we would expect exciting testimony happened. But what happened is someone who was not from God was separated from Abraham. So what I am telling you is, it's not that when you selflessly sacrifice to the Lord and worship the Lord and serve the Lord, it's not that nothing happens, but it's that the things that are happen are not pleasing to our flesh, and we don't count those things are as blessings, but they are blessings that the Lord is giving us every time we offer to the Lord on that altar. Hallelujah. So what I want to tell you is, we expect, oh, if we are serving God selflessly, God should give us finances, God should give us abundance, God should give us this. But that is not how God works. First, God exposed Babylon in him. Second, God separated Lot from him. So God is working, but he's not working as per what your flesh wants. Hallelujah. 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 Someone told me, oh, you know what, I'm coming in this meeting, I'm praying, I'm coming from, you know what, this is happening and that is happening and this is happening. That they have a fleshly perspective of God to work in ways, but God works in ways in which we don't expect him to work. Are we understanding? Praise God that he is doing things as per his own will and not as per our prayers of what we are wanting. Every time we selflessly, are we understanding that the first time Abraham, he did not expect things, those things, but first time God has worked. What, how he has worked, he has exposed the Babylon. So he came with understanding back to the same altar. The second time he prayed at the altar, another thing happened. Lot was separated. God is preparing a way for you to enter in God's destiny. You understand that? That is more precious and valuable than having car and bungalow and houses and money and all sorts of things. So every hallelujah. That's why you feel dry, because what is feeling dry? After you worship God, serve God, you'd say nothing is happening. No. Your mind, your flesh that is expecting things, that is feeling dry. I'm telling you, there is a reason I am in this place. There is a reason I don't have a mic in my hand. There is a reason I am not in a big auditorium. There is a reason I expected those things to happen when I stepped into ministry. But God destroyed my expectations. And there is a reason, because God has invested a lot of wisdom on me and taught me that his house is not about infrastructure. His house is not about infrastructure. And the way he can teach me that before I preach that is, he did not place me in infrastructure. He did not give a mic in my hand. The reason I don't carry a mic in my hand and preach on a stage is because, it's only because God has not allowed me to do that yet. Because he's teaching me something. He's working in ways that my flesh does not expect. My flesh expected me to be in big crusades and on stage, but that did not happen for me. He took out Babylon from me. He took out Mammon from me. He took out Rabato Koyasata. Hallelujah. Are we understanding that, people of God? So even though you don't understand it, even though you feel dry, I am telling you, continue to selflessly give unto the Lord. Continue to selflessly build altars to the Lord. Continue to fulfill your covenant and commitment to the Lord. Continue, even if you don't feel like, I'm telling you, when time comes, you will see the results. Those results will be far more better than the results that Egypt and Babylon will give you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? So the second time he built an altar, Lot was separated. The first time he built an altar, famine came. What happened? He went to Egypt and he understood, this man has a lot of things that needs to come out of him. Hallelujah. Amen. So are we seeing that? Do you now accept that we all have a Babylon? You have a Babylon in you. You have a hold of mammon that needs to be exposed. And if you are journeying with God, God will expose it. God will bring it out. God will bring it out. God will sanctify you. That journey that you make with God, God will do that for you. Hallelujah. Another example I want to give you is Jacob. Jacob had a lot of Babylon in him. Jacob had a lot of, because I told you, Babylon's foundation is based on one of the things called trading, give and take. If I want to do, Lord, if I worship you for 1 hour, I want this. I want some money. Only then I will worship you for 1 hour. If I give to you, I want this, I want that, I want this. It's trading. That is how mammon operates. And that there was mammon's hold and ideas and infrastructure even in Jacob's mindset, stronghold in Jacob's mindset. There was Babylon in him. That's why God placed him under that wicked Laban, for around 21 years. And that Laban cheated him. The Laban, changed his wages. He loved Rachel. He looked at Rachel. Wow! And during the wedding time, he was made drunk and he saw it's not Rachel, it's Leah. Imagine his anger. Imagine the cheating on him. And then he said, more 7 years, you will work for Rachel. And all the stuff happened with him because God wanted to turn him from Jacob to Israel. And break the hold of Babylon in him. Break the hold of that give and take relationship in him. Let me show you from the scripture. Genesis chapter number 28. Genesis chapter number 28. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter number 28. Verse number 11. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set, and took one of the stones of the place and put it at his head. And he lay down in that place to sleep. Which is this place? The east of Bethel and the west Bethel, east Ai, the Bethel, the same place that the grandfather built an altar, the altar at Bethel. The grandfather learned the ways of God at that altar. Hallelujah. The same place. He took a stone. He slept. Now this is young Jacob. And the meaning of Jacob is deceiver. You know, from the beginning, he deceived the brother. He deceived the father. He deceived the brother. Took the birthrights. Deceived the father. Took the firstborn's blessing. So this is young Jacob. Dynamic Jacob. Immature Jacob. Okay, first time, and there are no chances that he could encounter God in that lifestyle. But the reason he encountered God because something that the grandfather did there in the place, he landed up at the same place and he took the stone, maybe the stone of one of the altars that grandfather used to build the altar, put it on his head, and he got a dream. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth. And its top reached to heaven. There the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. This is what happens when you build altar. It becomes a, even when you leave the earth, the place will still be a place which communicates with the God of third heaven. The angels were ascending, means going from down to up. That means the work was on the ground, on the earth, and they were going from down to up. Okay, any which ways, let me not go into altars. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac, the land on which you lie, I give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, the north and the south, and in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Wow. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, and I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. The Lord spoke to him from his throne. Okay, what a great encounter. You know, sometimes we are not ready when the Lord speaks to us. So the Lord speaks to us so much, but what comes to us is a little bit. We don't understand anything because we are not living a lifestyle of altars. We are not living a lifestyle. So the Lord told him, so much God gave him. All the families of the earth will be blessed in your seed, and your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. They will be to the east, to the north, everywhere on the face of the earth. So many things God promised him, and see the response. I feel as if going and slapping Jacob. What are you doing? How are you responding, man? So immature. I'm sorry. I'm just joking. Hallelujah. Look at his response now. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Then Jacob rose early in the morning. Not even that time. If God would have spoken to me, I would not have waited for morning to come. As soon as he spoke to me, I would have cried to fall prostrate. But Jacob was very immature at that point. So, this is awesome, wonderful. That is how naive believers be. Oh, wow, the presence of God was there and this. And they forget about it. He waited until morning. And what he did in the morning? Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he put at his head, set it up as a pillar, and poured oil on the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of the city had been Luz previously. Now, then Jacob made a vow. See what is his response. Saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on. God is talking about nations, brother. And here you are talking about bread and water and clothing. Oh, if God will give me... Nonsense. What are you saying? See what he says. He says, God will keep me in this way, give me bread and water and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace. Then Lord shall be my God. God is telling you, I am God who's chosen. Then God, if God fulfills this, my conditions, bread, water and clothing, then God will be my God. And then what he says, and this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that you give me, I shall surely give a tenth to you. Not now, after my conditions are fulfilled. Not now. I will not give a tenth tithe to you now. Afterwards I will give. I mean, how foolish is this guy? There is a lot of Babylon in him. There is a lot of mammon in him, I'm telling you. He's trying to manipulate a relationship with God on the basis of conditions and give and take. This God does not works like that, Jacob. This God does not works like that. Here is God talking to you. God told you that he gave you the whole earth. And here you are even ignorant to give a tithe to him. Oh my God. Hallelujah. There is a lot of Babylon in us that needs to be exposed. So God said, okay, I hear your response. I have prepared a wicked man for you. Go there. You want to marry Rachel? Serve 7 years. Even after that, I will not give you that your beloved Rachel. You serve another 7 years. God prepared. And at the end, he was left alone. You remember Peniel? God met him at Peniel. And even that time, Jacob was fighting and fighting and fighting. And the Bible says he was overpowering that man, the angel. But at the last, the angel touched the socket of his hips, broke it. And he was not able to fight. And then he said, oh no, I still want your blessings. I still want your blessings. What is your name? He said, I will not tell you my name. I don't want to go into that revelation, but what I am saying is supported from scriptures. That man was Jesus, with whom Jacob fought. And that's why you see Israel still fighting with Jesus. Even when Jesus came back, they fought with Jesus. So Israel, that is Israel, that is Jacob, has a mentality of fighting and receiving blessings from God. That is the law. But Jesus want to teach you grace, that you don't fight with me, but you lean on me, depend on me, crucify your own things, and then you will receive from me. That's why through the law, these people don't understand. That is a revelation that I've already taught. Are you understanding that? The people of Israel are the children of this man, Jacob. And the qualities of Jacob are imparted to all the children of Israel. Hallelujah. So as for them, if you want the blessing of God, you need to fast, you need to go to the temple, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to and all those stuff. Hallelujah. But when Jesus Christ came, that's why Apostle Paul, I like that character in the Bible, because for him to come out of that law system and teach the grace system, a man who was himself under the law, that's why he could teach the difference between the law and the spirit. Hallelujah. Any which ways, I'm not going into that, but there is a lot of Babylon in us that needs to be exposed. And God will expose it. And what I want to say is, God will deal with the Babylon in us. God will deal with the Babylon in us. God will deal with the mammon in us. Everyone say, God will deal with the mammon in me. God will deal with it as... Hallelujah.
God will deal with the mammon in me.
God will deal with the mammon in me.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Are we understanding that now? That is okay. So that is another example I showed you, how this selfishness, this, you will see, where is mammon in Jacob? Mammon, the very act of his giving and taking. God, you do this, then I will do this. Go do this. That is the system of mammon. Selfishness, trading, transactions, that is the system of mammon. Do we understand that? Even as I teach you, think about the churches in your city. Think about the churches in your nation. Most of the churches are give and take. Give and take. If you do that, I am not, listen to me, giving in God's kingdom is different, but people have made it as a system of mammon. If you'll sow into my anointing, you will get a car. If you kiss my shoes, you will get this. That is not God. That is not the Holy Spirit in the church. There is mammon sitting on the church. When you see transactional relationships, when you see transactional doctrines, do this, you will get this. Do that, you will get this. No. God is not like that. God will give you a promise for sure, and he will keep his word. But then he will not perform things as per your own will and expectations. Things will be different. And sometimes you do things for God, but the things that happen after that, it will not please you. But God is working in ways you cannot see, like he worked in Abraham's life when he built altars. When he built altars, he did not know a famine came. He did not know Lot was separated. It was not all exciting testimonies, but it was required for him to move ahead with God. It was required for him. Hallelujah. Are we understanding that? All right. I am done with the Babylon in us. And the next thing I am going into this, into for this sermon, the next topic I am going in this sermon is how Babylon got into the house of God, and what is Babylon? How Babylon got into the house of God, and what is Babylon? I'm going into that. Hallelujah. Okay. I will not stop. I will go a little bit into that, and then maybe after some time I will stop. 2 Kings chapter number 20. Hallelujah. This mammon that I'm talking about now, from three meetings, this mammon, I told you in the beginning of the meetings, those who are not there, I taught about Mammon's agenda is to attack the house of God. Mammon's agenda is to turn the house of God into the house of Mammon. That is the house of transactions, trading, give and take. That is what happened during the time of Jesus. Mammon's agenda is to purchase people's soul. And when I say purchase people's soul, I'm not only talking about the unbeliever's soul. I'm talking about the souls of those even who serve God. That is what Mammon's agenda is to, why he wants to purchase their soul, because he wants to manipulate or shut up the voice of God through people. That is why he wants to purchase the soul. But my question to you is, how did this Mammon enter the holy house of God, the tabernacle of God? What provides entrance to Mammon? What provides entrance to this Mammon, the God over Babylon, to get into the house of God? That is what we will look at. 2 Kings chapter number 20. Let's go there. 2 Kings chapter number 20. Verse number 1. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, went to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." Then he turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, "Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I walked before you in truth, and with a loyal heart have done what was good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. We know Hezekiah as the man of prayer, as a man who was a praying king, who was a faithful king, faithful to God. And we know his story, how he defeated, not he, but God defeated Sennacherib because he turned to the Lord in prayer. You know, so he was a praying king. But what happened that suddenly chapter number 20 starts off with that Hezekiah was going to die? And the one who made him sick and allowing him to die was God himself. What happened there? That is my question. Many of us, we don't look at that. But suddenly what happened? This king who prayed and all those stuff, who prayed and God destroyed Sennacherib and protected the nation of Judah. Suddenly what happened that God told him that he will die. Put things in order. He sent a prophet to Hezekiah. I want to bring that issue or that revelation to your notice, because based on that revelation you will understand how Babylon entered the house of God. How Babylon entered the house of God. Babylon and Mammon targets praying people. Yes, Mammon targets faithful people who are overseers over the nation of God or over the house of God. And he wants permission from those people. And if for example, I, as the overseer over the house of God, as a watchman, as a servant of God, Babylon is able to find any Mammon alignment, any Babylon alignment, he would use that to enter the house of God and manipulate the system of God. That has happened with a lot of churches and ministries. So it's very, very, very important for us to include one point. Lord, expose every Mammon in me. If there is anything, root it out. Try my heart. Know my heart, Lord. Hallelujah. So it says, verse number 3, Hezekiah prayed and said, "Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and you have done what was, I have, and have done what was good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. He repented. And it happened before Isaiah had gone out into the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. On the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord." Your healing will take 3 days. All right? And on the third day, when you are completely healed, you will go up to the house of the Lord. Now the first, let's detect his sickness. What kind of sickness he had? First point about his sickness is, the sickness would not allow him to enter the tabernacle. That is the first characteristic of his sickness. Okay? A kind of sickness that will not allow him to go to the house of the Lord or enter the tabernacle. That is the first thing. Verse number 6, I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend the city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. Then Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. So they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. Second point about the sickness, that he had a skin disease. He had a skin disease. So he took the lump of figs. There were boils, certain kind of boils and all those stuff. So he laid on it, and he said, when you lay that on the boils, it will recover. Verse number 8. And Hezekiah said to Isaiah, what is the sign that the Lord will heal me, that I shall go up to the house of the Lord the third day? Then Isaiah said, this is the sign from, let's skip all those things. He gives the sign about on the turn dial and all the stuff. Verse number 11. So Isaiah the prophet cried out to the Lord, and he brought back the shadow 10 degrees backwards, by which it had gone down on the sundial of Ahaz. Verse number 12 is important now. Verse number 12 will show us, you know, God is not just, he comes and he makes anyone sick unto death. No, there should be a reason. It's just not like that. Verse number 12 shows us the reason. At that time, Berodach Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and present to Hezekiah, for he heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And Hezekiah was attentive to them and showed them, underline verse number 13, very important. Hezekiah was attentive to them and showed them all the house of his treasuries, the silver and gold, the spices and precious ointment, and all his armory, all that that was found among his treasures. There was nothing in the house or in all his dominion that Hezekiah did not show them. So while before Hezekiah was sick, he was in contact with this Berodach Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon. He was in connection with Babylon. Now, before going into those stuff, let us understand what I detect, the kind of sickness he has was a kind of skin disease, a skin disease which will not let him enter the house of God. And if we look at the Old Testament, that skin disease is called leprosy. All right? What is called? Leprosy. Now, leprosy. Leprosy's root cause is pride. And the another name of Babylon, I want to give another name for Babylon as pride. Pride. That is the sin that drives Babylon. Pride is Babylon. And leprosy's root cause is pride. I will go to many scriptures to show you that. Okay? The key to keep Babylon out of the church is humility. And I'm talking about true humility. I'm not talking about the worldly humility. I'm talking about godly humility. The key to keep Babylon out of the church is what? Humility. Now, you have to look at that. You have to look at the scriptures and understand that what Hezekiah was sick with was kind of, if not exactly leprosy, but similar to leprosy or might be leprosy, and because of which he was not allowed to enter the temple of God. Something that he was doing which was not right in the sight of God. And what he was doing is, the problem with him was his connection to Babylon. Okay? His connection to Babylon was the problem. And when he got healed, he forgot about everything. And when Babylonians came to visit him, oh, you are healed and all those stuff, what he showed them was what? His treasures, everything in the temple, the spices, the precious ointment and armory and all that was found in the house, and all his dominion. He showed everything of those things to Babylon and to the agents of Babylon, to the son of the king of Babylon. Now, this is what I want to tell you. Listen to this. King Hezekiah, a man of prayer, chose not to display his faith in God, prayer life, and testimonies to the heathen, but his wealth, treasuries, achievements, and weapons to them. Let me come again. Hallelujah. Let me come again. King Hezekiah, who was a man of prayer, a man of faith, chose not to display his faith in God, prayer life, and testimonies to the heathen, that means to Babylon, but his wealth, treasuries, and weapons to them. That is pride. That is pride. Listen to me. Listen to me. An American pastor came forward and said, when people see me going in my Rolls Royce, they will know that there is a God in heaven. He is not a servant of God. He is a servant of Babylon.
Yes.
An American preacher, another one. I used to listen to his sermon because some people, mega church pastors in India, promoted him. But they are all agents of Babylon. None of them are servants of God. And he came and said, you see this watch? There are diamonds studded on this watch. And this is the watch that no one has in America. And something billions of dollars it costs. Listen to me. Whenever you see a man of prayer, a servant of God, not promoting God, but promoting his luxuries, he is receiving Babylon. Are we understanding, people of God? That is the entrance of Babylon in the church.
Mm-hmm.
That is the entrance of Babylon. God expected Hezekiah to tell him about what happened to Sennacherib. Be careful with us. You know, you Babylon, be careful. We prayed and God destroyed. God wanted him to share testimonies of God's victory in his life. God wanted him to share his faith in Jehovah God. God wanted him to share his prayer life, his dedication to God. But here is Hezekiah showing silver and gold and weapons and spices and treasuries of the house. When a man starts to do that, he is receiving Babylon.
Babylon.
Let me show you that. Let me show you that. 2 Kings chapter number 20. 2 Kings chapter number 20 verse. Let's go ahead. And verse 14. Then Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah and said to him, what did this man say? And from where did they come to you? So Hezekiah said, they came from a far country, from Babylon. And he said, what have they seen in your house? So Hezekiah answered, they have seen all that is in my house. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and what your fathers have accumulated until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. So when you do that, you are inviting the God, the mammon, to come and take over everything in the house. Do you see that? Hallelujah. Now do you understand the error of Hezekiah? Now do you understand why he was sick? What kind of sickness? Leprosy. That leprosy came because of pride. Let me stop here. I will continue this the next week. But may God uproot Babylon from our lives. May God uproot Babylon from our lives. You know, when God sends people to you, all right, what you need to show them is your faith, your testimonies, and not your achievements. Even as I speak this, many of those preachers are exposed. You might see them, you know them. Many of them are in the US, many of them are in India, many of them are now in Africa, in Nigeria. You know, they talk about it, and they talk about God wants to make you rich and all those stuff, and they will brag about their watch, they will brag about the coat and brag about this and that, and they talk about, they They make a public display of their wealth and this and that, all those stuff. They are the agents of Babylon. Babylon has already entered because they don't share their faith to glorify God. They don't share the testimonies of God's victory, like Hezekiah was supposed to share. Instead of sharing his faith, the testimonies, he showed the heathen the wealth and this and that. And God said, Babylon will enter your house. Babylon will enter the house of Judah. And hallelujah, take away all that. Possess all that you have shown to them. Hallelujah. But tonight we are exposing this mammon, the god over Babylon. Tonight, I pray, O Lord, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, first of all, for myself, and then for your people. Lord, that Babylon shall not enter us in Jesus' mighty name, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. We are not proud because of the things, God, you have given us. We are proud, Lord, but we glory in your holy name, Lord. The things of the world will, today is there, tomorrow it's not. But what will remain, should remain, is your presence, Lord, Father. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray, Lord, that as you dealt with Abraham, as you dealt with Jacob, you are dealing with your people. And as even as you are dealing with us, Lord, like Abraham, like Jacob, let us be humble, Lord, and let us not leave you, Lord, Father. And let us not be offended with your dealings, Father, Lord. I pray and I ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you will expose and root out every hold of mammon from our lives, every hold of mammon from our lives, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, expose and root out every hold of mammon. Father, maybe, Lord, when the sermons are released, maybe some pastors and preachers, Lord, whom you still love, Lord, and who you know their hearts, may watch this, Lord. May they repent and come out, Lord, and detach themselves from Babylon, Lord. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, Lord God, hallelujah. Thank you that you are establishing a people, Lord, who will depend on the system of God and not on the system of mammon. Lord, expose mammon even in the coming days, I ask you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, Lord, I pray that you will, sometimes we don't understand nothing, Lord, what happens, but still teach us to trust you. Still teach us to obey you, Lord. Father, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Teach us your ways. Take us more deeper, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, speak to your people, Father. Continue to speak to them, Lord. The word, the seed that is sown, Lord, let it be kept in them, Lord. And let not the enemy snatch it away, Father. And let it grow and bear fruits, Lord. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I cover all of us with the blood of Jesus Christ. I cover all the children of God with the blood of Jesus Christ, even those who are not able to make it, Father. Cover them with the blood of Jesus Christ. Give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And we say amen. Let's shout amen. Come on. Hallelujah. Everyone, remove your mute and shout amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.